Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Our lineup has changed a little bit for this evening, so we'll introduce everybody. We're your hosts. I'm Dr. Dave DeProspero.
I'm Peter Leonard.
And I'm Steve Roscoe.
And in the house, we also have with us tonight, Stacy. We have Mark, and we have Mike. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
All right, all the members of the Rome Investigators of the Paranormal. How's it going tonight, guys?
Good, good.
Good. What's new?
Nothing much.
What's on the lineup for tonight? I'm sure everybody would like to know.
We all look at each other.
Not right? Everybody at once.
Well, we could talk a little bit about a couple cases that we're working on, and we can do that.
It's actually a lot of good stuff to talk about. We have some.
How about they call us up? You want to call in? We're open for questions.
Yeah, we'll send that information out in a second. We've got some paranormal news and information to pass along, some tips, tricks, and techniques for the paranormal investigators out there, and some other morsels that we're going to pass along to you tonight. We just had a very filling dinner, so I think everybody's kind of carb overload at the moment, right?
I think so.
Guys, what do you think?
I agree.
Okay, everybody agrees.
Pass a donut.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you have questions, news, requests, new technology you would like us to review, team updates, event updates, or if you would like to be a guest on our show, email us at submit@paranormalinvestigatorradio.com.
Same thing.
And before we begin, I'd like to apologize to you and every member of your family for any comments that may be ushered tonight that you find offensive or inappropriate. Although it is not our intention, it just happens normally because we are those kind of guys.
We are?
Yes, we're open for business if anybody would like to call in. And since Mark is here, I have to clarify the record. A couple shows ago, I, myself, Peter Leonard, took credit for carrying that gigundinormous pelican case that weighs about 700 pounds up three flights of stairs. That was actually Mark. But feel free to carry that anytime you want because that's all yours.
Yay, Mark!
Mark's the guy.
Well, we wrapped up a hell of a Halloween season, huh, gentlemen?
Yes, we did.
This was one of those rare seasons where Pete booked us literally every weekend at least two places from late September until actually this week. This Thursday is our last public event. It was a long month.
Yes, it was.
But we did well.
It was a fun month,
Mike said, from the distance over there. We did a lot of tours of historic locations, public tours. We did a lot of public presentations. We did book signings. We did, what else did we do?
We're in Westmoreland this weekend, or this Thursday, right?
We're in Westernville, New York.
Okay,
Westernville. This Thursday.
It had a West in it.
It had West in it, right.
I tried.
Yeah,
that's right.
Direction was correct, yes. We're doing a public presentation at the historic town meeting hall in Westernville, New York. So if anybody out there is in this neck of the woods, we have our presentation, So You Want to Be a Ghost Hunter, on deck.
That's a good presentation. I like that.
That's a fun one.
Yes.
It is. It's fun. I have to apologize tonight, ladies and gentlemen. If we sound different, we're actually in the doctor's laboratory tonight. We're broadcasting on location. We had a very paranormal dinner this evening. It was corned beef and hash. Was so good it just disappeared. Wait, did I say hash?
I think so.
Oh, that's my other hot. I only had four donuts tonight. So, guys, I was looking on the news today if we want to talk about some of this paranormal stuff until someone calls in. I've seen that the Vatican, for the first time ever, is going to display the remains of St. Peter at the end of November. Where? A one-time showing at the Vatican.
Oh.
At St. Peter's on James Street next to Fort Stanwix.
I guess that's going to let us out then, right?
That's why it would be nice to be independently wealthy. You could actually travel and see these once-in-a-lifetime events.
Oh, sure.
Is there an occasion?
It's Pope Francis. He's the change. We won't go there. We'll stay religiously neutral.
Speaking of Pope Francis, we were watching a TV show the other night, and they popped up a photograph of a bride and a groom that actually got married in the Basilica in Rome, and they were out in St. Peter's Square, and the funny part was that they had clown noses on. The bride and the groom had clown noses on, and they zoomed out of the picture, and who happens to be there with them but Pope Francis, who also had a clown nose on.
That's great.
I don't think any other pope in the history of...
Popedom?
Don't say popedom. Papal history would have worn a clown nose. So that was kind of nice. He is the change. That was nice to see.
Hey, a basilica, isn't that what you put a handful of that in your tomato sauce to spice it up?
I think it's basil.
Buzzing the gall or whatever we call it. I don't know. It's Italian. Mingya. Oh, boy. No more UFO sightings. After the last show, we had a heck of a hell of a... That's the new word for the night.
Heck of a hell of a...
UFO sighting. I don't know. Did you see it, Steve?
I seen it. I was in the car.
I was just checking. You never know. I have too many donuts. I don't know what's going on. But I'm pretty sure it was one of ours. Looked like the YRTB again. Wait, YTRT3B, 3RB, TR3B, R2D2. But the other one that was off in the distance, we couldn't explain the square.
No, we couldn't.
And interesting, we got several instant messages from people that they'd been seeing that for over a week.
Quite a few. Matter of fact.
Wonder if they're correlated with any local Sasquatch sightings.
There's actually a couple people that I work with. I started a new job, and they are not Sasquatches. Some of them may... I'm not going to go there. So word got out that I do the paranormal investigating with the team. Oh, wait, we're going to switch over. We're going to switch over to Kathy on line one. Kathy, are you there?
I am.
Oh, hi, Kathy.
How are you guys doing tonight? Yeah, hey, good. Listen, I grew up in Rome, and I remember being a kid about, when I was like 11, 12 years old, and reading in the Sentinel about Lincoln's ghost train that supposedly came through Rome. And I don't think it did the actual original... train route, I don't think it did go through Rome, but I heard it was supposed to have been seen around here. And I remember reading that in the Sentinel, like in the early 70s, and I didn't know if anybody had ever heard about that.
Oh, absolutely. That's a well-known story here in Rome, and I'm going to pass this over to Pete, who is our historian, and he'll tell you all about it.
Oh, that'd be great.
We're sharing microphones tonight, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
In 1860, when Abraham Lincoln was elected, Rome was actually a solid Democrat town. And there were actually fights the night of the election. The Democrats were fighting the Republicans. Knowing this, when his original train went through Rome, it wouldn't stop in Rome because they worried something would happen to him. But he did stop in Utica, get out, and give a quick speech. On his death train did pass through Utica. It stopped there for like 2 or 3 minutes and blew through Rome again just because Rome was mostly Democrat and pro-South. Not a good thing during the Civil War.
Oh, my God.
And there are actually stories.
I never knew all of that.
Absolutely. If you need to know anything about history, Pete's the man to ask. But there are stories of people to this day still seeing the historic ghost train, if you will, go through Rome. So yeah, that is an actual noted story, and Pete hopefully has shared a little bit of background there with you.
Yeah, yeah. Because I had read, I remember reading it in the Sentinel, but I just can't remember, you know, when it was, whether I was 11, 12, 13, you know, and that's kind of a long time to go back, you know. And, but I was told it was only supposed to be seen around Halloween or maybe the month that he was supposed to have died, you know, and, or was killed in April.
Yeah, that's...
So
that's
is that supposed to happen every Halloween, or is it happening every April, or...?
I don't think it's happened in quite a while. There haven't been any stories recently of that,
okay.
But I do know that it has happened. There have been stories, and people have reported it to us over the years, so...
Oh, okay. Now, is it only in a certain place in Rome that it's supposed to be seen, or... Like, on
no,
tracks that aren't there anymore, or...
No, people see it by the train station. That's where they see...
Oh, really? Down on Martin Street? In that area?
Yeah, right around that, the bridge and the actual De Oenste, marker right over there.
Oh, yeah, the Lower Landers Place, yeah.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. Okay, now I have another comment about Bigfoot.
Sure.
I have a cousin who's in his 70s, and he told me that about 60 years ago, when he was about 12, he was like on the other side of Floyd Avenue at a friend's house, and he... was down by the Mohawk River, and he saw a creature, you know, and this is 60 years ago, and he saw this very large, hairy creature, and this is, like, within Rome itself. So I didn't know if anybody has been seeing Sasquatch in the area, and then I have his nephew, or, I'm sorry, his uncle, who is another cousin of mine, he had seen, he was shown a Bigfoot print out in Point Rock, New York. So I didn't know if there was going to be any, or if anybody has ever had Bigfoot sightings, or if anybody's going to mount an expedition or something to go looking, or
well, we've never heard of any sightings in Rome itself. However, we have heard of sightings outside of Rome toward Camden and that area. Mm-hmm. But actually, Whitehall, New York, which isn't that far away, is actually the northeast hub of Sasquatch sightings. Mm-hmm. So
really?
Yeah, we're in the general neck of the woods for it, and our team has actually done some cryptozoological expeditions in the past. We recently did Black Panther. There's supposedly a giant Black Panther on the loose.
Really?
Yeah, somewhere by Florence, Camden, out in that area, and a homeowner had seen it, and they called it in, and then they called us, and there was never another sighting of it, and our team did spend the night in the woods in that region looking for it with thermal imagers and some heavy artillery just in case.
Was seen. Somebody on Facebook posted a picture of a trail cam picture that picked up a shot of a mountain lion out there in Point Rock. And I have my cousin who I was telling you about, who had seen Bigfoot like 60 years ago, his nephew lives out in Point Rock and said that, oh, yeah, they're out there. He said, I can't even sit in my own backyard for any length of time. And then, and I was asking, I was kind of teasing him about Sasquatch, too, and he says, oh, yeah, they're out there. So I was thinking maybe we should get an expedition going out in Point Rock, in the Point Rock area.
Well, maybe we should, but I was part of that team that went out to Camden to look for the black cat. And
mm-hmm.
We didn't see anything out there resembling a big
cat. No footprints or anything?
Not saying there's nothing there, but we didn't see anything.
It's one of those things where you got to be in the right place at the right time.
Exactly.
But,
right. Yeah.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And,
feel
free to call us again.
All right. Thanks a lot, you guys. You have a good evening.
You as well. Thank you. And we're going to go right to Mike, who's on line two. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, this is Mike. I tuned in when you mentioned Bigfoot, and actually, I produced the show following yours. We had on Bob Gimlin.
Oh, fantastic.
You guys have any thoughts about Bob?
No, I don't have any thoughts at all about Bob. I know he...
Hold on.
Well, of course, for the audience, then the famous footage...
Wait, we got a microphone issue.
Gimlin,
I know it's Roger.
Yeah, Bob Gimlin... Patterson footage is, I guess, world famous.
So what do you make of that Patterson film? Do you think it's real, or do you think it's a hoax, or what?
Well, if you've watched the specials on TV, et cetera, you know, they have experts on both sides of the fence. I don't know. But after talking to Bob, you know, both on the show and in private, He seems sincere, but I mean, you know, what can you tell? I don't know if he's been subjected to any lie detector tests or whatever, but, you know, we're living in an age when the video is so ubiquitous. You'd think a person that says they see him all the time, they would at least get some footage, you know, either a still shot or a video. So, I mean, like, you know, that last caller said she talked to somebody who says they can't sit outside without seeing something or whatever. Where's the audio? Where's the video, you know?
The problem is, the bigger problem is that when that film was originally made, that was, you know, many years ago, and the technology available then was far less than what we have available today. Today, everything's HD quality, and you could, you know, see a whisker on the chin at 100 yards. Back then, though, you know, the biggest question about that film, even though it's so famous, is you can't really make out fine detail. It could be a guy in a suit. It could be a creature in the woods. It could be a bear walking on hind legs. Who the heck knows what it is? If it were higher quality, that might be a little bit better. But nowadays, if somebody were to catch something on HD, I think there would be a much more difficult process of disproving it.
I think they've done
everything. Well, you guys are going to mount your own expedition, right?
Well, we always say so. We always say that we're going to go up in the Adirondacks because there's actually a large reporting group in the Adirondack Mountains here in New York of Sasquatch sightings. And there's actually a couple teams in the area that are dedicated to the crypto end of things. So that is definitely one of our long-term goals to, you know, spend a few days in the woods and interview some of the witnesses and see what we can see.
You know, one person I wanted to also mention was Dr. Melba Ketchum. She is a big disappointment to me. I think she's done irreparable harm to the whole thing with her study. So-called study, you know, I mean.
That one. She's one person I've never heard of.
Melba Ketchum, the one who claimed to have DNA evidence of Bigfoot?
The DNA, all right.
Her, she's the one, and then she publishes it in what is that, some kind of self-published journal. You know,
right,
not,
that was the biggest problem right there. There was no peer review, there was no third-party analysis, there was no independent study done on that.
You know, I wish she had just not done anything. It was horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we
but
think...
We're depending on you guys to come through with the HD video on something. Or audio. Audio or video.
We have the HD cameras, and we have the thermal cameras, and we have all that stuff. So if we could find something, then you better believe that we'll post it.
Okay. And you'll talk about it here on your show. Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Call Mike.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye. Sorry, my headphones off on that. Bigfoot was actually one thing I never studied on, so I'm sorry I couldn't help you guys out on that. I've always been the UFO kind of ghosty kind of guy.
That's okay.
But the previous caller mentioning the... no, I shouldn't go there about the citizens of Rome.
Do it.
About the Bigfoot in Rome.
Do it.
I mean, having grown up on the banks of the Mohawk River, I mean, you'd think we would have seen or heard stuff, but I mean, other than the occasional rape on the street or the weird sounds that the neighbors made, I didn't really hear anything unusual. I got the whole room speechless. Like I said, I apologized at the beginning.
Mike grew up down by the river, too.
In a
He's
van?
In a van by the river. Actually, where Peter and I grew up, there was still Native Americans that were living in that area, even when we were children, and not many, of course. There were just a few, and there was never any talk of anything weird. It was just a living off the land kind of thing. So I guess in our neck of the woods, if there was any kind of report of that, then definitely we would have heard something through the years, or there would have been reports, but here in this local area, nope.
So now my curiosity has peaked, and I found a Sundance 2011 movie called Letters from Big Man. I want to see if that's on Netflix. I'm going to add that in. It's about a Sasquatch in a man costume. Wait, did I read that? The Sasquatch is a man in costume. The Sasquatch is... Never mind.
It's still not sinking in. It looks like a girl to me.
Okay, so Pete thought it was a Sasquatch in a man costume. It's actually a man in a Sasquatch costume.
Oh, wait, there's Harry and the Hendersons.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, Pete.
Yeah.
You know, I'm with you.
So I think before the callers, I was talking about my new job, and there were several reports of UFO sightings. In fact, in the Deerfield area. I don't know if anybody listening is from the Deerfield area, but there was one lady who was mentioning the fact that for every night for about a week, at roughly the same time at night, she would see the same phenomena taking place in the sky above her house, and it would stay there for minutes, 5, 6, 7 minutes, and then in the blink of an eye, she said it would take off. You could see the trail of light and everything as it was leaving. Coincidentally, she is the neighbor of one of my other coworkers, and she went and called him outside, and he was actually able to witness it as well. So there's lots of eyewitness sightings of strange things happening in the sky above central New York. So if anybody's seen or heard of anything, feel free to give us a call.
Until last week, I'll be honest with you, I've really never seen anything strange in the sky.
Yeah, nor have I.
No. But last week, we were driving back from the show, from Pete's house, and he noticed something in the distance, and he goes, look it over there, look it over there. And sure enough, we seen what? How many, Pete? Two or three?
I think Mark is choking on a Kit Kat. What was that in the other room? Are we allowed to mention Kit Kat?
Give me a break.
Why do I keep mentioning it?
I don't know.
No word from our sponsor.
And now for a word from our sponsor. Halifax Warburg. Yeah, serious note, though. We saw one initially and then another, and then when I went back out with everything, I saw three at once.
You should have came back and got me. I would have went with you.
Phone lines are now open. In North America, call 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
We have a special guy sitting in with us tonight. His name is Halifax Warburton, and he's got something to say tonight. Go ahead, Halifax.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's great to be here. Great to be here. And I'll tell you what, Steve, I've been called many things in my life. Special? Not too often.
You're the special guy. Come on.
Very interesting you guys should bring up UFOs, though. I once had an experience where I felt I'd seen one as well, up around the Buck Hill area. Felt like it was a triangular pattern of lights in the sky. Seemed to be following us as we drove down Buck Hill Road. Couldn't describe it at the time. This was going back quite a few years. You're all young kids here, but... outside of that, I haven't had much experience with UFOs as well. I was always more of, well, much like Pete's, into the paranormal and... Sasquatch. I've heard a lot of stories, but... Oh, you were calling me a Sasquatch. No, I've been on a few Sasquatch hunts. Never caught one, though, unfortunately.
Is that a Friday night in a local bar?
Outside of maybe my wife. She doesn't listen to the show, though. She's not computer-friendly. Just kidding.
She wasn't computer-friendly till tonight.
But I, much like you were saying earlier, Dave, I heard a lot of stories from the surrounding area. Never really in Rome. Never heard anything but a lot of surrounding areas. Buck Hill, Point Rock, Florence. Everyone you run into has some sort of experience with something living in the woods. Sasquatch, panthers, cavemen.
I've never.
God, if I saw a Sasquatch panther.
Whoa.
Or a panther in a Sasquatch suit.
Isn't that like a saber-toothed tiger or Sasquatch panther?
Yeah, I guess it would be.
Turducken.
Destroying the lab here at the good doctor's house.
I think there's something in the air here at the lab tonight. I just can't can't place my finger on it.
Visit us online. Paranormal Investigator Radio.com.
We have somebody else here tonight that would like to say a few words. My cousin Mark. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, first you say I'd like to say some words. I get that microphone shoved in my face. It's
You're here. You got to say something.
I suppose. So what are we talking about? I haven't been paying attention all
night. Well, we're talking about UFOs and Bigfoot tonight. Have you ever seen a UFO or a Bigfoot? Now, I know for a fact that your wife, my cousin...
If you're going to say she looks like Bigfoot, we're going to be in trouble.
No, I'm not saying that. No, she told me that she had seen that you guys, maybe you, but she had seen something up in the Buck Hill area.
Actually, Buck Hill's got a lot of stories other than just what we've seen, but there's been, I know she recounted a story to me about how her and some friends were heading back down and the guy driving actually stopped dead in the middle of the road and got out of the van and ran up into the woods because he thought he saw... something moving up there. And after a while, they all started seeing something running alongside the van going about 25, 30 miles an hour down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of odd in the size of it. They said it probably was Bigfoot. But again, one of those sad situations where no one had a camera handy and...
Well, of course.
Couldn't confirm anything, but...
But if you see a Bigfoot and you stop your car, perhaps jumping out of the car and going after the Bigfoot may not be the safe thing to do.
Not normally the best idea. Yeah, you're right. He had an AK-47, so he had a chance, maybe? Yes. Bigfoot was well armed that evening.
That'll only be 10 rounds.
Seven. Remember, seven rounds.
That's a different show. That's yes. With Steve.
No, we don't want to get Steve rolling on that.
For the audience, Steve is currently wearing an NRA cap, and he's staring very angrily at the microphone now that we're talking about the round limitation here in New York. This may or may not be why we haven't been out there looking for Bigfoot. We're not concerned with the fact that seven rounds may actually never bring him down. But anyway.
If it doesn't, we better move real fast.
Yes.
That's when we use old school pugilism.
No, that's when we throw Mike at the Bigfoot and run like heck.
Last I heard, Mike actually was arm wrestling Bigfoot, but I'm not too sure how valid that story was. We'll leave your wife out of it from now on.
No, please.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, I've never actually myself seen anything UFOs-wise. Like, there's a lot of interesting things in the sky around Rome and Oneida County itself, so you never know. With where we work and what we see all the time up in the skies leaving that area, can't be too sure anyway.
That's true. You just never know around here.
So, interesting stuff. It's one of those ones where we got to get Pete looking into the Bigfoot thing because there's supposedly a connection between Bigfoot and UFOs where you'll see UFO sightings around the same time people see Bigfoot sightings in the same area. Not sure what the connection is or if there's a connection, but who knows for sure.
I've heard of the same thing, but like you, I don't know. I really don't. I'm not a UFO or a Bigfoot expert, even though I would really like to go looking for Bigfoot.
I'm pretty sure I'm a genetic match for Bigfoot on a few levels here, just the height, the hair, and who knows what else.
You know, but you know now that you mention it.
Steve, leave the beard out of it. We're good.
Mark kind of looks between him, across between ZZ Top and
the music is better, though, I promise.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's not professionalism, but you know.
Since when are we ever professional? Wait a minute. I could.
I started laughing. I couldn't get it out.
Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll-free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
You're listening live with Steve at Pistols and Puppies.
Well, they always make fun of me or always tease me about my Facebook page because that's all that's on it is Pistols and Puppies. Every once in a while I get a cat, but, you know, Pistols and Puppies.
Goodness gracious. All right, I've got a bit of news here to share with you. Bless you. This is actually kind of interesting. You guys all right there? Oh, they're laughing. Peru's government UFO agency officially reactivated after an increase in sightings. So speaking of UFOs, Peru actually has a governmental agency dedicated to the study. It says, Peru's official UFO investigation department is now back in business, and its government is soliciting information from the public after an increase of sightings. The Peruvian Office of Anomalous Aerial Phenomena Research, or OIFAA, which was shut down for the last 5 years, will seek the expertise of Air Force personnel, sociologists, archaeologists, and astronomers to analyze as much information as possible about UFOs. So, apparently there's such a tremendous outpouring of public claims of UFO sightings, and they have an enormous amount of pictures on this webpage to validate what they're saying from Peru. It actually goes on to say that in 1969, after more than 20 years investigating over 12,000 UFO sightings, the U.S. Air Force ended its own study known as Project Blue Book, and I know Pete has talked about Project Blue Book before on numerous occasions, claiming that no evidence ever presented technological developments or principles beyond the range of modern scientific knowledge. However, now, these days, things are a bit different, and this information is coming to light, especially in other countries where actually taking some action on it. So, how's that sound? Okay, Mike just said ancient alien connections to Peru is... right. Correct. There's a historical link to UFOs in that region.
If you look at the Mayans in their caves, or they have a lot of those pictures and carvings in their wall of strange looking people that could be space people, but you know,
psychotropic drugs will do that for you. You can see all kinds of UFOs. No, but I don't. I mean, as an aficionado of YouTube, I mean, for years I've watched maybe thousands of these things. The ones are the ones over Mexico, where they're maybe like 100 feet away from some of these UFOs. I don't know if you've ever seen any of those.
Mm-hmm, I have.
Where they're like full size flying sausage. It almost looks too good to be a flying sausage. I'm sorry, ladies. This ladies. Help me. Well, that's a perfect segue into the other paranormal article here about the man who stapled his testicles to the pavement or something in Russia. I mean,
ow.
So, how many puppies with guns do you have pictures of?
Oh, I've got a load of puppies with the guns, and I don't think I've actually had puppies with guns. Guns and puppies.
But no, to another serious thing with like the UFOs. I mean, there's been a lot of debriefing out of England. They released most of their files. I want to say Australia opened up all their black files too. It's just amazing that every country in the world has tracked this, and it's always the same deniability.
Wasn't there that one case in England that they had on the military base, the U.S. military base?
Yes.
I can't remember the name of the forest right offhand, but
Sherwood?
Air Force people. Sherwood Forest. No, that's good, though. I like that.
Wait, talking about forests, I found another interesting thing over here about Bigfoots. Anybody ever watch Finding Bigfoot?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's a good show. Bobo Fett, the star of Finding Bigfoot. Not Boba Fett. Bobo Fett. He has produced a list of Sasquatch's favorite foods. And I'm going to tell you these right now. The key.
Sasquatch beefsteak?
No, Sasquatch beefsteak. The key to luring a Bigfoot is two things: sweets and meats.
Very wavy.
Especially bacon.
Does he like nuts?
No, he does not like
bacon.
bacon.
Bigfoot likes bacon.
Bigfoot likes bacon.
Is this confirmed?
It says.
So you go into the woods, you bring some Oscar Myers.
Since the early 1900s, there's been reports of people saying, I was cooking bacon and the Bigfoot came in and licked the pan clean when I set it down later.
Look, I can just sit there, see there now, Bigfoot licking a pan.
I've never heard that quote before. The creature usually settles for raw meat like deer or fruits and berries, but definitely they have a craving for the good home-cooked meal. They love cooked food, he said, adding that researchers have success attracting the creatures when cooking out in the wild. It puts the smell in the air. Bacon is big with Bigfoots, as well as chicken wings.
So hey, Bigfoot, Bigfoot actually settles for things and likes chicken wings. So we get a
double bacon pizza and some chicken. Right, pizza and wings. On a hunt with Huffington Post's Weird News editor Andy Campbell, the Finding Bigfoot team laid out a giant serving tray full of hot wings. They didn't work, but blueberries and apples do, apparently. And it goes on to say that despite all of these efforts, they still can't capture one on camera.
I mean, what is Bigfoot supposed to do after he eats a tray of hot wings? You're not going to miss that, probably?
Yes, I do.
Oh, goodness. And there's one more very interesting thing to bring up over here.
What's sweet? You didn't do the sweet yet.
Blueberries.
Blueberries.
He likes blueberries.
Well, they are antioxidant.
That's right. Chris Angel. Chris Angel. Anybody here a fan of Chris Angel?
Who's that?
The magician. Illusionist. No. I think the biggest paranormal news of the evening is discussing his my set is that he's popular. His new look. Has anybody seen his new look?
I didn't even see his old look.
His old look, he had like the triangular shaped goatee with long hair that
kind of looked like the
hung in drapes over his eyes. Always
kind of looked like the devil. Yeah,
yeah, he had that weird gothic look. Now in all of his shows, he's clean cut, clean shaven, wears a shirt and tie. He looks very odd, but there's a very interesting story about Chris Angel here. In an ongoing attempt to continuously outdo the strangeness that he finds normal, the article says Chris Angel attempts to reanimate a human corpse. Oh, goodness.
This is going to be really interesting.
This is on his Spike TV series. Now, the unusual thing is that the pictures here, they actually show him over a corpse in what appears to be a funeral home. But they show the body. I mean, they show the face, they show everything. Here, look.
So this guy's really dead.
All right, you see that? I mean, it's very weird. Just the picture alone makes me doubt. The bowl cut, yes, he has a bowl haircut. Not the dead man, Chris Angel. Chris says, I was given the death certificate and his name, and we acquired previous home footage of this man, which we will broadcast on the show. It's going to make people's hair raise, and it's something that I hope people will tune into to watch this very provocative demonstration. Yeah, what do you think about that one?
I think Chris Angel is full of himself.
I just hope the government gets their tax off.
Well, for our loyal listeners, if you remember Dr. David talking the last time he was with us, he mentioned that you're able to reanimate a person, what, after 6 weeks after they're dead, or 16 years after they died? Or
16 years.
They're working on that technology at Stony Brook. Okay. But the picture we're looking at actually looks like he's been cut open and stuffed with drugs to be used as a transport. Oh, dear Lord, what is that? Is that like a Catwoman? What is that? That's a costume?
So Chris says, people are fascinated with death. That's why they stop and stare at a car accident, because their curiosity is provoked. I put my religious faith aside to explore the possibility to look at this phenomena of people that are dead and are able to be revived. All right, so this...
I'm sorry, Dave, but how long was this guy dead, did you say?
That was not given. Okay, wait, hold on. Pete, read this. Pete, say what you're going to say.
Well, Steve, like the movie Princess Bride, he was only almost dead.
Oh, okay. Only almost.
They were still able to suck the marrow of life out of him. So
I have never seen The Princess Bride, so I'm going to take him.
Dear Lord, we can't eat donuts anymore before the show. People out there must think we're high or something.
No more food, no more dinners before the radio show.
Actually, I see that now, what Mark's talking about. Why does he have a bowl cup? I had one of them when I was like 6 to 14. That's what happens when you grow up in east of Rome. No, actually, he used to really just put the bowl on top of your head and cut around it and give you the mo.
I honestly, I have never seen Chris Angel. Don't know anything about him.
Dave is having technical difficulties here. He's strangling his iPad.
And now he's beating it.
Chris Angel's modern day David. That's it.
It no longer works. The iPad is the... Hey, maybe we can get Chris Angel to revive the iPad.
The only magician we support is Leon Ntna, or however you pronounce his name, from Utica. We're with you, Leon. And I can't think of his assistant's name. And it's horrible.
Okay, so it said there were two things that were hard about this. First, we had to get a body, a cadaver. That was the most difficult thing, and we needed to find somebody who wasn't dead for a long period of time. The other thing was to find a facility that would allow us to do it, because no facility wants to get involved because they feel that it could come off as disrespectful. I can't imagine that. We got a facility that said we could use them, but we had to sign an agreement that we weren't allowed to name the place, location, or the owner. As a matter of fact, everybody had to be blindfolded to go there. Angel said there were more than 80 bodies in freezers at the unnamed location. It was a very eerie and uneasy kind of environment, but we came away with a greater appreciation of how fortunate we are to have life and how we can't take it for granted.
Is it Jeffrey Dahmer's
house? No. Well, all I could say is, if you're interested in this very macabre story, go to Google and type in Chris Angel attempts to revive, reanimate a human corpse. I'm sorry. Chris Angel attempts to reanimate a human corpse. Very unusual story, and bordering on paranormal. Bordering on psychopath.
Bordering, yes.
Bordering on a lot of weird things.
Paranormal Investigator Radio on
BBSRadio.com. Thank you. Well, the time's flying by. What else do we have on the paranormal clock? Anything interesting?
Well,
do we have any technology? Do we have any? Dave is working on the teleporter now. Now that he has access to that type of technology. He worked someplace in a location deep above ground.
Deep above ground?
With top men. Top men.
Top flight men.
Well, I was reading about...
What the hell are you guys talking about?
We were segueing into the Jesus box next.
Oh, all right.
There was a reference to the Ark of the Covenant there from the Indiana Jones movie. But the James Estuary is in the news again. Apparently it was returned to the owner, and they're claiming now that it may not be fake, that the Israel government was just trying to make it fake. For those of you who don't know about that, an estuary, or however it's pronounced, I thought it was a river, but it's a box that held bones during
the period of Jesus and early. This came out about 2002, where they found a box that had an inscription on it that said, James, brother of Jesus, son of Joseph.
I think I've seen that. I think I've seen that on the History Channel or something like that. Yep, I think I've seen that.
And when they raided that guy's apartment, he had like hundreds or thousands of forgeries of stuff that he'd been selling. Yep. So they just assumed that this box was all part of. But now it was in the news today that they've returned it and it might actually be real.
Really?
See, they should let paranormal investigators and psychics near something like that. If that or like even like the turn of shroud,
the shroud of turn.
I mean, if those things truly do have the psychic, the
Pete's tongue is tied in about four different places.
God. If they really have psychic power, the object, not the people. You would think the people who have the psychic power would be able to feel something like that or see it. Or could you imagine that? I mean, if you could actually touch the shroud of Turin, and the psychic goes into a seizure because they can actually see everything attached to it.
Well, that's a typical claim that a lot of contact psychics and contact mediums have, is that just by coming into physical contact with an object, they can get an imprint of what happened. But I mean, with such a famous artifact, even that would, you know, call many things into question about the legitimacy of whatever they say. I see this cloth covering somebody. I see
a guy with a beard.
Really? I know. Okay.
His name starts with F. Was it Frank? Frank. Is there a Frank here? Is there an a sausage?
I was just thinking that.
we're scanning here, looking at the current paranormal news. It's all UFO. UFO, UFO, UFO.
The most impressive, would that be UFO? UFO?
Yes. One of the most impressive videos I saw was maybe a year or two ago. I don't know if any of you gentlemen seen the one over the Dome of the Rock. It was actually captured on TV by a news agency, where it was just hovering over the dome and
Mark has shook his head yes.
That's right, we're on radio.
sorry, Steve, I didn't mean to break your head with
the
microphone. I apologize. The space shuttle footage, too, of the moon, space station footage of the moon has a lot of weird things taking off and landing on the moon. Mark is telling us that it is the Nazis that are living on the moon. It is possible. What was that movie? Sky of Iron? Iron Sky.
That's where they took off to? Oh, well, what's helium 3?
Steve, I mean, helium 3, come on. It's an H with a 3 above it.
It's Nazi's magic moon.
Oh, no, wait. That's
hydrogen. Okay. It's moon
that
gas. That's magic.
Moon gas.
that's a topic for a new show.
Moon gas. Tune in after Puppies and Pistols.
That sounds like a good show, doesn't it? Puppies and Pistols Hour with Steve.
I don't think we could get approved by the FCC to have that show between me and you.
Okay, Mark is going to tell us about, it's just some general information that might be handy for people who own their own homes and they believe there may be some activity.
First of all, I have no idea what I'm looking at. That's okay. You handed me an iPad. This is not good. It's not scrolling, Dave. Apparently, there's 8 signs to believe to look into if you believe your house is haunted. Unfortunately, I can't read them. No, they're not written in Aramaic. I just can't scroll the iPad. It might as well be. And then he breaks it. We're using Safari.
And then it's back.
There we go. No, it's not. There we go.
8 signs are.
Apparently, there's a new television show debuting called When Ghosts Attack on Destination America. It appears that the symptoms you're looking for are flies that never disappeared from the basement, despite use of copious amounts of insecticide, drawers opening inexplicably and cabinets opening as well. This actually looks like it'd be a very interesting show to watch. No, not really. I'm sorry.
And?
So he has me reading this about a TV show that's not actually going to be
produced?
The eight signs are kind of not shown at all.
Oh, goodness, give me
this. Here you go.
If you just Google eight signs, if you just Google eight signs.
Okay. Okay, ready? We have the eight signs that your home may be haunted. Number one, if you have unexplained noises that come out of nowhere and don't correspond to anything in the home. Oh. Peter's had too much sugar. Mike, stop talking. Okay. Number two, household items move. Number three, bizarre shadows that seem to come out of nowhere and are not attached to anyone or anything in the home. Strange behavior from kids or pets. Do they stare into the distance? Do they make noise or bark into corners? Sudden crying jags, irrational fears, feelings of being watched. If you have the feeling when you're alone that somebody is watching you, could be the NSA, could be the guy across the street, could be EMF. But
absolutely.
There could also be something to it. Terrifying and, more importantly, recurring dreams. If they happen over and over and over again during your sleep, the mind is supposed to be more perceptive to paranormal entities, so it could be something. Jeez, Pete, you all right? Electronic devices that spontaneously turn on or off. If after having your electrical checked by a certified professional and you can't explain it, there may be something to it. And unexplained writings. This one's important. If you have any writings on the wall, writings on fog in the mirror or on windows, look for names, or you can even look for messages that are being conveyed to you. So those are some of the signs that you may have activity in your home. But do not go by just one or two of those signs, because there's a lot of real-world things that could cause them.
And if you have anything like that in your home, that's when you call people like us.
I can't even tell you what we're looking at here. We've been looking up Iron Sky, and then its counterpart, quickly, Iron Thigh,
quickly degenerated into something.
Showing David one of them. Is that even a real thing? Can that be possible? Oh my God! I guess we have to apologize. The show was a little bit zany tonight. That's what happens when the Admiral Halifax, Warburton, and Mark are in town.
Absolutely.
If you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space.
Well, it's not good being on the edge. You could fall off.
That's right.
Well, we got about 3 minutes left. So, what do you guys want to? You got any words of wisdom, Lord Halifax? He's thinking, so that's a no.
That's the first time I've ever seen Halifax Warburton speechless.
The last time I seen something like that was when they said to a comedian, "Can you tell me a joke?" And they just stared at me. Like,
absolutely. Huh? Yeah, right.
I don't tell jokes. They just happen. How does that happen? Sort of like a UFO. They just happen.
Absolutely.
Bigfoot just happens. Sasquatch just happens to like blueberries and bacon.
And chicken wings. And chicken wings.
Don't forget.
Okay, everything he ate there not only is high in cholesterol, but they're also natural laxatives. That might explain the rainforests of Brazil. A blueberry here, a blueberry there, chicken wing. Next thing you know, you got a flock of Sasquatch chickens, which we call turkeys. And is he in coffee too? Isn't that cat turd coffee? Is that what you're talking about? Capistrano.
Crappuccino.
Oh, dear Lord.
Can I? Oh, gosh.
A big steaming cup of crappuccino. I don't know if we're allowed to say that, but
it's
out
there. Cup of that Bigfoot crappuccino, please.
I don't know how to
top that. A little bit more crap, a little less chino.
All right, let's get the show back on track here. Once again, if anybody's listening in the central New York area, we are having a much more organized presentation this coming Thursday at the Town Hall in Westernville, New York. The presentation is called So You Want to Be a Ghost Hunter, where we will show evidence from throughout central New York, and we will provide a lot of information for those who are interested in the paranormal, who aren't sure if they're interested in the paranormal, or if you're just curious about what we do, how we do it. We'll be answering questions, and we will have our books on hand. We would love to see you there.
We also have two consultations coming up, one hopefully this Friday and one next Tuesday.
For private home investigations.
For private
right?
home yeah. investigations, yes.
So, despite the fact that the Halloween season is now over and we can finally breathe for a few days, our schedule does remain kind of busy. We do have a lot of home investigations coming up. People continue to call. So if there's anybody out there who's having issues in their home or business or having sightings of any kind, feel free to get in touch with us. You can find us on Facebook. Look up Rome Investigators of the Paranormal. You could find us at RomeInvestigatorsOfTheParanormal.com, or you could contact us through our radio station email here called ParanormalInvestigatorRadio.com, and that will link you right through to the BBS Radio Network. Mark has a form
A lot of people have been asking me about that form, too.
There's an automated form on Facebook for
a couple people have been asking me about the membership application.
And for membership applications if you're interested in our group. So if you need help, lots of ways to get in touch with us. You could email us at info@RomeInvestigatorsOfTheParanormal or help@RomeInvestigatorsOfTheParanormal. Or on Facebook, you could find our help request form. So hopefully that's enough information for everybody out there. And with just under a minute left, we would like to thank everybody for tuning in to this kind of wacky episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. We hope you have enjoyed listening to us. Thank you for our callers. And if anybody else would like to call us in the future, we're on every 2 weeks. We'll be on not next Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, 8 o'clock here on the BBS Radio Network. Paranormal.
This has been a Zoom show, folks.
If you could only see what's going on here, ParanormalInvestigatorRadio.com. Thank you all for tuning in, and on behalf of myself,
Peter Leonard,
and Steve Roscoe,
and Mark Berry, and Mike, and Stacy, we thank you for joining in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at ParanormalInvestigatorRadio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.